Not if you're a Falcons fan. It's not Atlanta. What are you doing, baby? What is you doing, ATL? Can I tell you a secret? Dirty little secret. Dirty little secret. I'm kind of good with what Atlanta did last night.
No.
I know
someone who's not.
I know a lot of people who ain't.
Well, one important person. His first name is Kirk.
Kirk's not happy. And I get it. I get it. Atlanta was in a position with all but the best two wide receivers on the board, with maybe the best tight end draft prospect in, I can't tell you how long on the board. There was weapon after weapon after weapon available for the Atlanta Falcons on the board, and they decided to draft Michael Penix Jr. Now, I would also like to point out that there was never a doubt, never a doubt, never a doubt from your boy that Michael Penix Jr. was coming off the board before J.J. McCarthy was. Like, totes obvi, dudes.
Well, barely. I mean, if Atlanta didn't take him, can you guarantee it would have happened?
If Atlanta didn't take
Penix Jr.
Yeah, no, Minnesota was always going to get J.J. McCarthy. They were always going to get J.J. McCarthy.
So what's a bigger reach?
J.J. McCarthy.
Do you think?
Yeah. Who's a better player right now, Michael Penix Jr. or J.J. McCarthy?
Last I checked, Atlanta has a quarterback. You know who doesn't?
Not Minnesota. They do now.
Well, right. Minnesota didn't have a quarterback. So reaching for a quarterback, whether he's the one they should have went for or not, that's fine. They did what they needed to do. Atlanta, I don't understand.
I do.
Unless what they're saying to all those other guys, none of you are good enough for us to take best available. And nope. I've heard reasoning about why they supposedly did this, but you bring a guy in, you pay him a lot of money in Kirk Cousins, and you're saying, hey, you're just a placeholder.
Nope, that's not what they're doing. They are doing, although it's a mutated, distorted version of it, they're going with the Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers game plan. Say nope, that's exactly what they're doing. They're going with the game plan of, let's call it what it is. Kirk Cousins is an older quarterback who has never won anything in the playoffs with rubber bands for ligaments at this point.
Then why'd you get him? I mean, why'd you pay him all that
money
to bring him in?
Atlanta is in a compete now mentality. I don't know if they should be or not, but they are in a win now mentality. That team fully genuinely believes that they can win this division this year. And for the record, they're right. They can. The division is still not good. And Atlanta, roster-wise, with Kirk Cousins at the helm, is arguably, as of today, the best roster in the NFC South. I'm not going to push back on that. Maybe Tampa, but I really think it's Atlanta. So they're in a win-now philosophy.
But don't you risk something by not telling your quarterback that you brought in what you're going to do? Don't you risk him being disgruntled? Don't you risk
him... And doing
him,
what? Walking out on a $138 million contract not another team in the league is going to give him?
Not walking out, but believing that the team doesn't have his back. I mean, that can hurt his mentality. We know he does that brain thing. And I'm not sure that will help him. I mean, when you're second-guessing the people who are in charge, it might affect your play on the field.
I'm not going to push back against that. I think you're right. I would like to think... As the emperor of idealism, you would believe that Kirk Cousins is, no matter what happens, no matter what the team says or does, you put your damn nose down and you go to work.
That's not how it works. It's not how it works around here. It's not how it works at any job. How it works is if people make fun of you or they, like, you walk in a room and then suddenly they're quiet and things like that, then you start second-guessing that. You start second-guessing other things. You start seeing signs that maybe weren't there, and it affects how you act, like in this case, on the air. I've seen it happen with me. I've seen it happen with you. I've seen it happen with everybody. And so they're doing that. They do that to him. And do they have to notify him? No, he's the employee. They don't have to notify him. But they should have. Don't you think they should have?
I don't.
Wow.
I don't know.
Okay.
There is no... Does our boss, great one, have any obligation to come down here and run his decisions past us? No, absolutely not.
No, but in the past, not just with him, but with other bosses, where things were run by some people who were about to be effective, things ran smoother than rather than suddenly, here you go.
I mean, and also the other way too. Because if the concern you have is about the organization, not about the individuals, then here's the thing. What do we call the lead up to the draft? Smokescreen season. If they went to Kirk Cousins and said, hey, bro, we're thinking about taking a QB at 8. Not locked in on it, just letting you know we're thinking about it. And then Kirk calls his agent and goes, hey, man, can you believe this? This team's thinking about taking a QB. They're thinking about finding my successor. They could go get me an offensive weapon, of which there will be plenty at number 8, and instead they're going to draft the next guy. And then the agent goes, we can't have that. And he gets on the horn with a couple of guys out in the media sphere and starts going around and going, hey, you didn't hear this from me, but Atlanta's going to take a quarterback at number 8. And then that gets out into Twitter, and now Atlanta's taking elbow bombs from everybody about how ridiculous they are. And now everything looks bad on the ATL. So they had two ways to handle it. They could either have everybody mocking them, or they could have Kirk Cousins get up in his feelings for 10 minutes, but then realize Atlanta just signed him a contract that, let's be real, he does not deserve. It's real, real simple. To me, if you are protecting the brand, if you are protecting the franchise, if you are protecting the logo and the legacy, then Kirk Cousins having his feelings hurt. Hey, man, I'm sure you feel real bad. Anyway, here's your $1.3 million paycheck for this month. How bad do you feel right now, Kirk?
All right, so if this was 20 years ago and Al Davis made this choice, it would not shock me because the Raiders do stuff like this. Atlanta doesn't.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend like Atlanta is some golden standard for franchises.
I didn't say they were, but they do. They have made some choices that are good for the most part. Some don't pan out, but this just seems like such a reach when you could have had, as you just pointed out, some pieces to help Kirk Cousins out.
Okay, so let me lay out my case.
So what they're
then
saying is their offense is it's good to go. Don't need anybody.
For the record, that ain't wrong.
Yeah, but it's kind of the same offense. Let
me lay out my case. Let me lay out my case. It's week 7 of the 2024 season. The Atlanta Falcons are 6-1. We'll say the Saints are 4-3. The Panthers are 3-4. The Bucks are 4-3.
I'm sorry.
So they're 6-1. They're 7-0. They lead the division. And wouldn't you know it, Kirk Cousins, who you may or may not know, is 35 years old. In football terms, he's ancient.
Although, I would say, I think the ages are creeping up because of how people are taking care of their
bodies.
They might
be creeping
up. Like
35 is old.
I think
35 is old. It just is.
I would think.
How many other 35-year-old quarterbacks are there right now?
I'm going to go with 37 is old.
That's fabulous. 35 years old, how many quarterbacks are there at 35? Not very many. There's just not. And the only ones who make it to 35 are Brady's, Mahomes, Manning's, Breeze's. There's not any, I don't know.
Mahomes is nowhere near 35.
I understand. I'm saying he's the type of cat that can make it to 35.
I think you're going to find, and the ages have been creeping up, that quarterbacks are playing later. It's not just about Tom Brady. It's about other quarterbacks. You're mentioning Aaron Rodgers and those guys. The guys who are really good are going to have a chance to play better. And so you're saying that Kirk Cousins at 34 didn't play one of the best seasons he's ever had.
He did.
Right.
He did.
So just suddenly hit 35, it just drops off.
No. So let me finish where I was going. 35 years old is old. Okay? It just is. In the NFL last year, there were these quarterbacks that were 35 or older starters, if you want to give it to him, Aaron Rodgers. But you saw how that turned out.
Technically, he did start.
He technically started.
Yeah, he did.
So Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, Ryan Tannehill, how'd that go? He got benched in like week 6. Russell Wilson, how'd that go? Not real great for Denver.
You got to mention, he also got benched.
He got benched. Kirk Cousins. That's the whole list. That's it. 5 of them. You had Russell Wilson get benched and go away. Ryan Tannehill get benched and go away. Aaron Rodgers busting Achilles and Kirk Cousins busting Achilles. The only QB last year at 35 or older that played more than half the season was Matthew Stafford.
All right, so I take it back. Atlanta already made one poor decision when they brought in a 35-year-old.
Well, let me. Yes!
That's what
yes! I said that when they signed him.
So they spent all that money on that guy. So obviously they should have said, wait, you're 35. No, never mind.
Yes!
Never mind.
Already
okay.
said that.
All right.
Now, that being said.
Such an ageist.
Let me finish. No, some things old people can't do. I'm 39. There is bleep I can't do anymore.
Probably a lot of.
That's not
bleep.
Ageist. That's looking at reality and understanding sometimes you just can't do it anymore. And that's okay. That's how time works. So here's the case. Here's the argument. The argument for me is this. You bring in a guy who is 24. He is older than the rest of the NFL draft picks from last night, for sure. He is closer to 30 than J.J. McCarthy or any of the others. But he's also the best that was available there. I think he's a better quarterback than J.J. McCarthy. I did have to laugh yesterday because everybody's favorite Michigan Wolverine homer, Desmond Howard, yesterday was on ESPN. Lonzo, he looked in the camera and said, J.J. McCarthy is the most pro-ready quarterback in this draft. I was like, dog. Can you turn it off for a damn minute, Dez?
No.
For a minute?
No. I mean, some people, you know what you get. You know they're going to be a fan no matter what.
Golly. All right, so.
And he's like on that show and all, because of that.
You bring in a 24-year-old, but I would also argue a 24-year-old that you have to do two things. Number one, you've got to work with him medically to make sure that he is the best, most healthy version of himself. And number two, he's going to need some polish. So you bring him in, you know, he knows where he is. He's the backup. He's the second string guy.
When's he playing?
Hang
on. He's playing when he's 26, 27.
I'm trying to get to
it. He's playing when he's closer to 30.
I am trying to get to it. So you bring him in. You got him on the sideline. He's learning from Kirk Cousins. He's learning the NFL system. He's doing what so many teams fail to do in allowing their next-gen quarterback to actually learn the game before he gets thrown into the baptism by fire. And it plays out one of two ways. Kirk Cousins is healthy. He plays all year. He's totally fine. Michael Penix Jr. gets an entire year to learn the league. Next year, he gets a chance to outcompete Kirk Cousins. And if Kirk Cousins plays the whole year and he gets outcompeted by Michael Penix Jr., he becomes a trade guy. Number two, you get to week 7, week 8, week 9. The Atlanta Falcons are good. Surprisingly, good roster, good defense. They still got a lot of picks left. And then when you know it, in week 9, Kirk Cousins plants wrong and his Achilles pops again, which is absolutely a repetitive injury. His Achilles snaps, or his Achilles doesn't snap, but he's compensating for it, and he pops an MCL on the other knee because he's running too heavy on that leg, and he goes down. What do you have now? Michael Penix Jr. waiting in the wings. You don't have to go to, who was the backup quarterback for Atlanta last year? I don't even remember. Desmond Ritter's a starter? Who do they go to the backup there, right?
Your argument works if Penix Jr. is 21, but because he's so old, by the time he gets on the field, he's nearly 30.
He's not old. Quarterback ages are creeping up year by
year.
Right.
No, I'm going with what you said. So your
argument. Do you understand 24 is less than 35?
Yes, but your argument works if he's 21. Since he's already, you pointed out that he's an older quarterback after saying they don't want
older
quarterback.
When did I say 24 was older? Said, I said 35 is older.
You said he was an older quarterback.
He is older than the other quarterbacks.
Yeah. I don't.
He is not an older quarterback.
All right, again. Your argument works if they went with a younger guy, but they didn't. They went with an older guy who, if Kirk Cousins plays like he did before he got hurt, Kirk Cousins could play another 2 to 3 years, which means by the time Penix Jr. gets on the field, he'll be near the end of his rookie contract and will almost be 30.
What's Kirk Cousins won in his career? You're big on if you ain't got that ring, you ain't got no swang. What's he won in his career?
What's Atlanta won in their career?
Not a damn thing. It's great, isn't it? Isn't it awesome? Okay, it should tell you something. That the guy who loves nothing more than to step in here and on the Atlanta Falcons on a regular basis is defending this pick. Yes, it is an unusual pick. Yes, it may not feel like it is the right pick because you need weapons. This pick makes sense. You have got the quarterback of the future on your roster now. And oh, by the way, Atlanta fans, you got a left-handed quarterback named Michael. I don't see how that's a bad thing for the ATL, for the Dirty Dirty. We're going to talk more about this. We got to trade all the greats. Lonzo went to bed last night, and he woke up this morning, and his team's got a new Tyreek Hill on it. The Carolina Panthers made a move to close out the draft last night, and they ended up with a guy we all wondered if they'd get. Hell yeah. We'll talk about those moves and more when we come back. The Rob Brown Show, draft recap day one, draft prep for day two. Let's have some fun. Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate. Xavier Legette ends up a Carolina Panther. And there was the smoke going around that Carolina had straight up told Xavier Legette, we're coming to get you, dog. Like, you're going to be a cat next year. Xavier Legette at one point said, they told me they're going to draft me. And I was like, nah.
And then they downplayed it. Said, yeah, well, we told, Dan Morgan said we told like 50 players. Something similar or something. I can't remember his exact words, but like, yeah, as soon as he said that, it's like, yeah, they did tell him that. You just believe Legette,
it is,
don't you?
Yeah, I do. It is one thing.
He's got that country honesty that he's
he
just
really
gonna,
do. Yeah, he really does. Do. It is one thing, I think, to say to a guy, we're going to draft you. It's another thing to say that to a guy, we're coming to get you. Right? Like we are going to come get you. That is an entirely different breed of statement that you make to a guy. And so to me, when that came out, when that story broke, when Legette said, yeah, Carolina said they're coming to get me. That's the moment I was like, damn, what? You don't say that to a guy unless you're going to do it.
But it also made them have to trade up probably. Because everyone,
I think that might have been the plan from the beginning.
Because everyone, it could have been, but yeah. Everyone now knew that they were going to take Legette. So if anyone had any interest in taking him, you know.
I think going to get him might have been the plan from the beginning. And for them, for Carolina, it really was just a matter of figuring out where the best spot to make that happen
was.
But
if the Chiefs don't move out of that spot and move up, if they stay where they are, does it still play out that way?
Maybe, maybe not. The thing, though, is if you look at the wide receivers that are still available, and this is part of why this is so very interesting. It is because look at who is still available at the wide receiver position. Adney Mitchell is still on the board. Ladd McConkey is still on the board. Keon Coleman, still on the board. All three of those guys were expected to go higher than Xavier Legette. I think Carolina was kind of playing the odds here with this one. But as soon as Xavier Worthy came off the board, that was the moment, if you're Carolina, that you go, okay, they're starting to get speculative, right? Because Adney Mitchell was higher than Xavier Worthy on everybody's board. Everybody's. Xavier Worthy is Tyreek Hill. That's just what he is. He's a blazer. He's a speedster. He's a guy on the outside that runs a, what was it, a 4.21? Like it's subhuman.
He ran the fastest 40 time of all time.
Yeah.
Is what he did. And I just hope he can catch. It's a really, I mean, a lot of fast track guys made it to the NFL and were not able to catch.
Absolutely.
So,
but the thought here for me is, Adney Mitchell,
the Chiefs already have a bunch of guys who can't catch.
Absolutely.
So
it fits into the offense for Kansas City. But I think if you're Carolina at 33 and you're looking at Xavier Worthy coming off the board at 28 after that move, because the Bills need a wide receiver. And part of the reason the Bills were willing to move back, I suspect, was part that you want to know why there's so many damn smoke screens in the NFL? Part of the reason the Bills would have been willing to move back, I think, is because they heard Xavier Leggett say, Carolina told me they're coming to get me. So they can go, hey, we can move back one spot and we can let you have your pick of the litter. The thought was, if you're Carolina, yo, if Buffalo takes Xavier Leggett here, we kind of end up looking bad because we told this kid we were going to come get him. We told this kid we were going to make the move to make him a cat. So if we don't do that, we're kind of look bad. And Buffalo likely looked at it and went, we don't see Xavier Leggett as any better than Adnay Mitchell or Ladd McConkey or Keon Coleman or whoever else is the target. So all we're going to do is move back one spot. Would they get a fifth rounder to move back one spot? So we're going to move back one spot, pick up a fifth rounder for it. I think it was fifth rounder. I'm doing it off the top of my head. We're going to move back one spot. We're going to pick up a fifth rounder for it, and we're still going to get the guy we wanted. This was, for instance, why, I don't know, I'm going to tell you, Zoe, I ended up watching about 90% McAfee's broadcast last night.
And see, I didn't.
I freaking loved it.
I watched NFL Network, so I because I would have had to go online to do it, and I was doing something else while the draft was on, and I was lazy.
The boys.
And maybe you shamed me into not watching it. And I'm like, okay, Rob is telling me this is going to be horrible. I guess I'm just not watching it because, you know, everything Rob says I pay attention to and I adhere. So it's like, yeah, forget it.
The boys were hilarious, dude.
You're talking about them. We already know that. What about Belichick?
Belichick was like mildly awkward a lot of the time. Like you could tell that he was progressively coming out of his shell throughout the course of the night. They brought on, have you seen this cat? Oz the Mentalist that's been making the rounds lately. They brought him on at one point. And they brought him on at one point and he was doing his tricks with the, I know the numbers you wrote down stuff, which don't get me wrong, like entertaining. I'm not saying it's not entertaining. It's pretty good. But they brought this guy on and Belichick was eating this guy's lunch, like all but calling him a dork. They were all yelling at him like, get off the set, witch. Get off the set, demon! Like it was genuinely pretty funny. I enjoyed it because it was the way me and the fellas sit around and watch the draft.
So all the things that you criticized it for,
I ended up loving.
Yeah,
I genuinely ended up loving.
Wow,
I really did. I don't know. Wow. I don't know what to tell you. I genuinely know. Anyway, so all of that being said, the move to me actually made quite a bit of sense for Carolina. Yeah, it cost you a fifth rounder. At a point in time where draft capital is kind of a big deal for you right now. Yeah, we know that. We saw that. There's no shock. There's no surprise there. I think the other thing that it did was it allowed you to fulfill the promise to Xavier Leggett. It allowed to get you a weapon. We know, Zoe, based on the fact that they have moved training camp out of Wofford, out of Spartanburg, that they want to make some kind of inroads back into South Carolina. This did that to some degree. This did that. Or at least they thought this was going to do that. How's that?
Well, There's a contingent in the upstate still very unhappy about that.
I mean, they'll
the moving.
It is what it is, dude.
I don't know that Leggett will get them back on.
Maybe not. But for a lot of South Carolina fans, it will. Now they got somebody to root for in silver and blue.
Well, Gamecock fans for sure.
Absolutely. So, what I am most intrigued by with this is the fact that Xavier Leggett, by announcing that Carolina had told him, we're coming to get you, bro, probably influenced how this played out last night. My suspicion is that Buffalo traded with Kansas City down to 32 to pick up a couple of extra spots, pick up a couple of extra picks, knowing that Kansas City wanted a wide receiver and probably had a target they liked, Xavier Worthy, we know now. They drop back to 32, then they can get on the horn with Carolina. And if Carolina really wants to make a move for Xavier Leggett, they can call and go, here's the deal, guys. You can either trade with us up, give us a fifth rounder, we'll let you move up one spot, or we're going to draft Xavier Leggett because we really like him, which may or may not be true.
I got to say, because all things are about me, I'm pretty excited that Buffalo is the one who traded to both of my teams. And Buffalo could have gotten better, and they didn't.
I disagree. They still can. Adonai Mitchell's right there. Ladd McConkey's right there. I think here's where I land on this. Xavier Worthy is Tyreek Hill, but not as good of a route runner. It's a gamble for you guys because
sure.
He's a speed guy only. For he's sure. Not a technique guy. He's not a finesse guy. He's a guy you put at the X and you go, when the ball moves, I want you to run fast as hell that way.
Which is enough of a threat, at least early on, to make people pay attention to him. And suddenly Travis Kelce is open. Some of the other underneath guys are
sure.
open. So,
sure.
I mean, if you're paying him just to be a fast decoy, if it works, it works.
Yeah, if it works, it works. So Xavier Worthy is a to me.
But what if he gets better at catching?
What if
he gets better at route running?
Again, maybe he does, maybe he don't. We're going to find out, right?
It's Andy Reid. So there's a good shot at it.
There's absolutely a good shot. So Xavier Worthy goes to Kansas City, and I don't think it's unfair to label him a project wide receiver. I don't think it is disrespectful to label him a project. On the flip side.
I don't know. Are you sure?
Yes, I am.
You're trying to cover yourself.
I am sure that it is not unfair to label Xavier Worthy a project guy in this spot. So what else are we looking at? Buffalo drops back to 33 and then or back to 32, and they need a wide receiver. This is also not a secret that they're going to go wide receiver. So Buffalo sticks there now at 32 with the pick. They can look at Carolina and go, we know the guy you want, right? Like you're not shocking anybody. We want you. We know you want XL. We know that's the guy you want. So either you take him by giving us a fifth rounder and moving up, or we are going to take him at this spot and go from there. Here's the thing. I don't think Buffalo was necessarily all that interested in Xavier Leggett, to be honest with you. I think what they looked at was they went, all right, we got Adonai Mitchell on the board. We got Ladd McConkey on the board. We got Keon Coleman on the board. If you want to reach a little bit further down, Jalen Polk is on the board still. There's a lot of dudes on the board here that we could end up doing something with. And so because of that, for them to trade back to 33, they still have the opportunity not just to get better with a wide receiver, but to still get the guy they want and add a fifth rounder in the process. If Xavier Leggett never says into the microphone, yeah, Carolina, they told me they're coming to get me, then that probably plays out differently. Buffalo, now, I don't know how much it mattered because, again, I don't think Buffalo was drafting Xavier Leggett, but they could threaten it, and Carolina's got to make that move if that's the guy they truly, truly wanted. Xavier Leggett last night, coming to Carolina at 32. In the spot the Chiefs vacated to the Bills and then the Bills vacated to the Panthers. We're going to keep breaking down the first round. A lot of big trades last night. Atlanta makes a wild pick at number 8. Minnesota jumps up to take J.J. McCarthy. Was that the right pick? We're talking about all of that and more on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Real good, Corey LaJoy. Thank you very much. Welcome back.
That counts.
No, it does not.
It does too.
No, it does not.
It does too, because only half of your word made it on. It absolutely counts. If you only want to count it as a half, that's fine.
Fine, I'll take a half.
I did the same thing earlier
and
it counted.
One and a half.
Fine.
To two and a half. Counting halves now. The Rob Brown Show carries on as the Fan Upstate texter says, I love the move from Carolina's view. Got their guy by swapping a fifth and a sixth. Basically got XL for a fifth rounder. Not shabby. Yeah, I agree. If that's the guy you wanted, Xavier Leggett costs you a fifth rounder to get. And I'm totally fine with that. Here's why. There's one question about XL. And Lonzo brought it up yesterday. Was he a one-hit wonder at South Carolina? He was a gadget player 2 years ago. This past year, he broke out. He had 1 year of production. Do we trust that that 1 year of production translates to an NFL career? And here's why it's worth the dice roll. Because he is a physical specimen. Have you seen the shots of XL running when he's wearing the crop top jersey? Dude, I'm going to throw out a comparison here that's going to get some of y'all a little bit worked up. I don't care. If Xavier Legette reaches his top potential, or at least the potential we think is his top potential, Xavier Legette is DK Metcalf Jr. That's the comp for me. Xavier Legette is DK Metcalf Jr. He is big. He is strong. He is fast. He's a jump ball guy. Yeah, there's some concerns in the profile. We did our mock draft and our draft analysis over the last couple of days. And by the way, in case you were wondering, because yesterday I ended the show by making a pick at 32, and I got some heat for it. I got some people going, Rob, you're pandering. He's not a first-round guy. At 32, who did I have the Kansas City Chiefs taking? Xavier Damn Legette. He was absolutely a first-round guy. He's a first-round guy because of the upside of this cat. He's the first-round guy because of the upside. Because he is DK Metcalf 2.0. Again, that doesn't mean he's going to be DK Metcalf. He's going to put up those numbers. What I'm saying is the build is there. The performance is there. The ability is there. Now he's got to be coached up. This is a rough prospect. This is a guy that is going to have to get some coaching that is going to develop his precision, develop his route running, develop his technique, develop his targeting of the football. But if he gets that coaching, he could be DK Metcalf 2.0. This is why I said earlier in the week he was a first-round draft pick. It's why I said yesterday he was a first-round draft pick. I went on wire-to-wire with Colin Diesel yesterday afternoon. I said he was a first-round draft pick. I took a little flack from the fellas about it. Oh, you're pandering, you're trying to be a sap. I'm not. I sincerely view him as a first pick guy.
Did they really play the Gamecock card on you?
One of them did. One of them did.
Gee, I wonder which one.
I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, I could go back and listen. Not gonna, but.
The reality here
is. Was it the taller one or the shorter one?
I'm not going to tell you. No clues. No clues.
Was it the one you were sitting next to?
No clues. No hints. You'll have to go find out. It was made to sound as if Rob Brown was pandering. It was made to sound as if I was laying around just going, please like me, Gamecock. I'm not, my dudes. I have never done that to any of your teams.
By the way, in your face, wire to wire, now, Rob Brown showed you.
You know why? Because I know ball. And just so we're clear, I've been saying Xavier Legette's a first-round guy for about 3 weeks now. And I've been taking crap for it. Not just here. I took crap for it on BetMGM tonight when I said he was a first-round guy. I took crap on last night's show. I took crap on yesterday morning's show. The argument, the counter-argument, if you want to give me one here, is, Rob, if Carolina wasn't trying to pander to South Carolina, they wouldn't have picked him here. I disagree. I think he fits in very well with that offense. By the way, Rashad Beard's going to come by at 8:40 and talk about the pick with us. Do a little bonus Rashad action today.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. I love this pick. I love this pick. I think this pick is exceptional. I think that costing yourself a fifth rounder to get a guy who, by the way, and here's the other thing. I think Xavier Legette wanted to play for the Carolina Panthers. Did you get that vibe? Is it just me being optimistic?
Absolutely, I think he did.
I got the vibe he wanted to play for Carolina. I got the vibe he wanted to stay close to home. I got the vibe he wanted to represent his home state's, air quote, team. And you made that happen for him. Now, on one hand, you get an exceptional player with a great build. You get a strong player, a fast player. You get a player who also wants to be in the building. And if a guy wants to be in the building, you're going to get the best version of him.
All right, I'm going to duck after I say this, but someone needs to get the ball to him. So do the Panthers.
Panthers draft an offensive line the rest of the time.
That's what the next thing I was going to say.
Here's what's interesting about them being at 39. You got 33, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Then the Carolina Panthers are back on the clock. Who's left and available overall on the board? Listen to this list, Lonzo. Cooper DeJean is still available. Cooper DeJean is still available. That's first-round guy. Johnny Newton's still available. That's a first-round defensive tackle. All these, by the way, let me just go with the positions of need. These aren't guys that are necessarily needed by picks 33 through 37 or 38. Cooper DeJean, cornerback, position of need. Johnny Newton, defensive tackle, position of need, I think to some degree. You do have Derrick Brown locked up on the extension. You are a 3-4 defense, but I have pointed out, you're a 3-4 defense who runs a 4-3 about 40% of the time. A second defensive tackle is a big deal. Kool-Aid McKinstry, cornerback, position of need. Do you want to go back to the wide receiver? I think your wide receiver run is coming today. I thought it was going to be yesterday. Turns out it was a defensive run yesterday. No defensive players for 15 picks and then a defensive run. That left Cooper DeJean, Johnny Newton, Kool-Aid McKinstry on the list. You want to go wide receiver? Lonzo, is there a 0% chance that either Adonai Mitchell or McConkey fall to 39? I'm going to say probably not, because Buffalo's taking a wide receiver, and then we'll see what happens the rest of the ride. But there's not a 0% chance Ladd McConkey's not there at 39.
I would say, so if you're the Panthers and there's another big-time receiver there, I think you got to take him.
Absolutely. I'd be thoroughly thrilled to come out of round 2 and 3 with another wide receiver, for sure. Adonai Mitchell, Ladd McConkey are still there. Ennis Rexstra Jr., Missouri cornerback, still there. Keon Coleman, wide receiver, Florida State. Keon Coleman was a guy I had on the list at 33 if that big wide receiver run that I thought was coming was coming. If there was a big wide receiver run and I said you're at 33, moving up gets a little expensive, you can't make that move. Keon Coleman is a project prospect. I'm going to go ahead and call the shot now. Keon Coleman's going to be available at 39. If he's not, there's a guy I said this morning I love as a defensive tackle. If you end up in a spot where Johnny Newton comes off the board before you get to him, Braden Fisk out of Florida State, defensive tackle. Florida State's defense was the reason that they were the 13-0 national champions last year. Braden Fisk had a lot to do with that. I like this cat a lot. Again, I don't know if defensive tackle is the highest priority, but it's not a need. Marshawn Nealon, the edge rusher out of Western Michigan's on the board. Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker out of A&M. When 39 comes up, great one. Even if all these guys come off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, if all these guys come off 1 through 8, the next group of guys are linebackers, edge rushers, and cornerbacks. Positions of need. All spots you need a guy. This move was phenomenal because I think Xavier Leggett, again, prospect, is going to need some help. Is going to need some help. He's going to need some coaching. He's going to need to learn some finesse. I'm not going to say he doesn't. I'm also going to say is especially if you pair him up with another wide receiver at 39, and then you go get me some offensive linemen. By the way, because I know offensive line is kind of a big deal, if I look at the best available board right now, the next offensive lineman on the board is Blake Fisher out of Notre Dame, who is not expected to be drafted until the third round. There are no offense. All the good offensive linemen are gone. That's a bad thing for Carolina. You got Damian. You got Robert Woods, Damian Loomis and Robert Woods, the two guards. You actually did. Carolina did. And this is why when they brought those two guards in, I got really excited about it. Some of you are like, Rob, are you really pumped up about Carolina's big free agent moves being offensive guards? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Because your tackles are okay. You have now fixed your guard position. And what did I say 4 weeks ago when those moves happened? You know what you just did? You made your draft way easier. You made your draft way easier. Because if you didn't have those guys, you would have to dedicate your lower round picks to offensive linemen. It would not be an option. You would have to dedicate your lower round picks to offensive linemen. Because there's four or five of them that are first round guys, and there's like one or two that are second and third round guys. Everybody else is going to be late third, fourth, and beyond. And if you're Carolina, it means you would have to have locked in all your late round picks to O-linemen. Well, what did they trade yesterday to go get the highest wide receiver available on their board? A fifth round pick, which is where they would have picked an offensive lineman. But they don't have to because they got those two guards, Woods and Lewis. I'm going to tell you right now, again, not a fan. I'm a division rival in my heart. I want you to be good so I can make more money professionally. Not a fan. Silver lining, Lonzo. This offseason's A+, as far as I'm concerned. Just with yesterday's move, this offseason's A+. You got two guards. You filled in the two biggest positions of need on the line. You got a wide receiver, a guy who wants to be in the building, who wants to be there, and it cost you a fifth-round pick. Well, the two guards you got made your fifth-round pick expendable. You know how I'm viewing this? I am just pretending the fifth-round pick was to get Lewis and Woods to play guard. That's pretty damn good, boys. You effectively got, via free agency, two starting guards for a fifth-round pick and a wide receiver that clearly your coach and your GM love. Now, I'll say this. If we get to week 7, 8, 9 and Xavier Leggett's not doing anything, he's not existing, he's not producing, he's not playing, or he is playing, but he's not really an asset to Bryce Young, then we'll have a problem. Because then we'll be able to look back and go, Morgan and Kanellis missed. They rolled the dice on this guy, especially if, let's say, Adonai Mitchell or Ladd McConkey or Keon Coleman show up in the league and start going bananas. If any one of those three guys, if two of those guys, if all three of those guys show up into the league and produce immediately in year number one and Xavier Leggett gets lost in the sauce, then the biggest concern you have is, can our guys evaluate talent correctly? Which is a huge concern. But until we get there,
they got stuck with a quarterback who can't get the ball to him. I mean, there's a couple options that could be the reason why. And with this shored up offensive line, Bryce Young's not going to have an excuse. So I'm not saying that you're going to say this. Could it be the quarterback's fault? And not the receiver's fault if that happens.
Could be the quarterback's fault. Could be the play caller's fault. It could be the center's fault. It could be the tackle's fault. It could be the wide receiver's fault. We can't know that until we get there.
It's not a bad situation for Leggett to come in on a team because he needs to learn some things anyway. And there's going to be a lot of that going on with the Panthers this year.
With a new head coach, with a new system, with a head coach who was brought here for one reason and one reason alone. Russ Wilson, Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield. That's why he's brought here, because this guy has worked with three consecutive quarterbacks. Russell Wilson got his fat ass contract. Geno Smith won comeback player of the year, and Baker Mayfield got his $100 million contract all under Dave Canales. That's why he's here.
Is he a whisperer yet? I don't know how many things you got to do before you become a whisperer.
I honestly think it's fine to slap the label on him now.
Okay. All right.
Right? I think it's fine to slap the label on him now. So, with the label slapped on him now, you brought him in to fix BY. You've now given him a weapon on the outside. You've now shored up the offensive line. That's not to say I don't want to see Carolina go out there and maybe still grab a tackle with another pick somewhere else. There's a few project guys down the list that I'm fine with you making a move on. I'd love to see him go get a big tackle somewhere down in the line. Maybe somebody like Damel Glaze out of Maryland, a 6'4", 315-pound right tackle. Maybe go get another project tackle. See if you can put some weight on him. See if you can bulk him up a little bit and find you a productive starter down the line to make it even better. But for now, I am going to go ahead and say, whatever happens the rest of this draft, this offseason for me is an A+. This offseason for me, great one, is the most optimistic offseason since I moved here. Last year when Frank Reich got hired, my thought was, all right, but I guess we'll see. Yeah, he did some things with Andrew Luck in Indy. I guess we'll see. It wasn't optimism. It was, all right, not even cautious optimism, just cautious, period. Year before that, Matt Rhule already knew it was going to go bad. Year before that, knew it was going to go bad. I think this offseason so far, I can go ahead and write up as an A+. Now, the big question, as I said a second ago, the big question now is going to be talent evaluation. If Xavier Leggett shows up and he's a stud, Dan Morgan and Dave Canellis might as well get their pictures painted and hung on the outside of the stadium because they're the conquering heroes. If Xavier Leggett shows up and he stinks and he can't do it and he can't translate to the league, and any of the guys that are still on the board, Adonai Mitchell, Keon Coleman, Ladd McConkey, go on to be studs, there's going to be questions about talent evaluation. Hey, speaking of talent, the great one's going to do a sports flash now.
Eventually. Clemson DB Nate Wiggins was selected by the Baltimore Ravens at number 30, and Ravens GM Eric DeCosta, in the NFL draft last night, by the way, said Wiggins had a big advocate, Dabo Swinney. Surprisingly, DeCosta said after the pick that Swinney texted him making the case for Wiggins. Wiggins joins a talented backfield that includes Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Williams, and Kylie Hamilton. We just talked about it. Let's do it again. The Carolina Panthers needed a wide receiver in the draft and made a move to add the former South Carolina Gamecock Xavier Leggett to the roster. The Panthers traded into the final spot of round one by sending the Buffalo Bills a fifth round pick to move up one spot to ensure their selection. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, and a lot of fun. And it's all Wire to Wire.